Dag, ik ben Jeanette Badhoorn en jij staat op het punt om vrijheidsondernemer te worden door naar deze podcast te luisteren. Als bedenker van het merk Vrijheidsondernemer, auteur, mastermind expert en online ondernemer praat ik over verdienmodellen, ondernemerschap, geld, mindset en persoonlijke ontwikkeling. Hier vind je geen oppervlakkige bla bla gesprekken en ik doe niet aan hypes. Deze podcast is een combinatie van jarenlange ervaring, ondernemerskennis en identiteitscoaching. Om jou te laten zien dat succes ook voor jou mogelijk is. Als je meer vrijheid en omzet wilt, als je wilt groeien als mens, als je oprecht en authentiek bent, dan is deze podcast voor jou. Ik ben blij dat je luistert. This will be a great exception. This podcast will be in English. So for my Dutch speaking audience, deze podcast is in het Engels, omdat dit een interview is met een Engelstalige gast. Ik ga praten met Sigrun. Alright, make sure you register for the 12 days of masterclasses done by Sigrun starting December 25th. The URL is in the show notes, but it's janetbadhoorn.nl/12DOM Sigrun, 12 days of masterclass Sigrun. But the link is in the show notes as well. In this episode, I'm going to talk about, we are going to talk about the importance of a seven-figure mindset, the importance of joining mastermind groups. We will talk about the trends in social media and in online business. We will talk about role model awareness. And we will talk about identity shifts in becoming a successful entrepreneur. It's a real valuable lesson that you will learn, I think, I hope. The most important thing is, if you feel inspired by this talk, please register for the 12 days of masterclass, because masterclasses, you can have a lot more input and a lot more energy from this very energetic Icelandic lady, Sigrun. For now, I'm going to leave you with the interview, and I really hope to see you inside the 12 days of masterclasses. I will follow them and I will give extra guidance to people who would like that. So sign up and make sure that you let me know that you have signed up so that I can give you a little bit more advice. So for now, the link is in the show notes, and have fun. Absolute pleasure to have you, Sigrun.
I'm excited.
We are live. Yes, you are live in front of, I think, 70% Dutch audience, 30% international audience. So we'll do it in English, of course.
Of course. I'm sorry I can't speak Dutch. I was 2 months in Rotterdam as an exchange student. And I think the only thing I remember, I was only 16, was a cup of coffee.
Yes. Very important. And I think probably also something like Welterusten. You remember that? Good night, Welterusten.
Yeah, they didn't say good night to me. Yes.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. I remember the cup of coffee because there was a song. Popular. Yes.
Cup of coffee. Yeah. Okay. This tells my audience how old we are already. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, let's talk business. So we met a long time ago, long before you were this crazy seven-figure dancing lady in a red dress on a stage.
Yes.
Yeah, which you are now.
Yes.
Can you talk us through this whole identity shift from being like a woman from Iceland, moving to Switzerland, having no job, not feeling too good? You were sick at the time. And then fast forward 10 years later, you are a self-made millionaire. What changed in your identity and what changed in your self-talk?
Wow, there's a lot of shifts. I think the first one was that starting my own business felt like actually the only choice I had. left. In a weird way, like I have 4 master's degrees and I was a CEO for 10 years in small businesses. The biggest business had 70 employees. It was an 8-figure business, but you know, it's on a big scale. These are small businesses. So I did have business experience. After I had been 7 months sick, I had lost my job twice. I was sitting there and I went to the unemployment office and they said, "You are unemployable."
Yeah, in Switzerland, you're unemployable.
They expect you to start apprenticeship 16 and do the same thing for the rest of your life. So when someone comes along and they have lots of interests and multi-passionate, they have degrees in different subjects, they think they can't. You cannot make up your mind. But, you know, in my mind, the path was very clear. I just always went to the next thing that I felt passionate about and studied it. So I was there and I was being told I was unemployable and I was still sick. And I had been following people online.
Yeah, that's another question I have. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
I think we followed the similar one, Natalie Sisson.
Natalie Sisson. Yes. Yeah.
Suitcase Entrepreneur. And I remember she wrote a book, The Suitcase Entrepreneur. And we, you know, my sister and I, we bought the book online and I read it. And I was like, wow, this world exists. Like people can actually work whenever, wherever. And it felt believable from the woman. But of course, you need more examples. You cannot just like have one person. You need to lots of proof. Because when you're doubting,
can you tell me about that moment that, because I had the same moments, but the moment that you read something or you listen to a podcast, you had a podcast as well. Yeah. This is possible. What changes in you?
Yeah, so I think the book was the first step, but it's not enough to have just one book. We need more proof.
We need more. Yeah.
I joined an online course in 2013. I didn't do much, as you know, many of us do.
With the first online investment, you made the investment.
I do not regret a single penny I invested. Like it was worth it, even if I didn't do much, because I was in a Facebook group and I saw in front of my own eyes someone go from zero to making a few thousand dollars, and 3 months later making 10,000, and a few months later making 20. And I was like, I knew this person when they were making zero. So I started to believe. And this is so important. I think this is underestimated part of the journey. I invested $2,000 in this course. Was it worth it, even if I didn't do anything? Yes, because I got the belief that there is a world out there and I can do it as much as these women. So even though for many months I was like, overthinking and progress in my head, there was progress. There was progress in this is possible. You know, I just need to take the steps, but it is possible. And that was so important for me to just see these women take off from zero. It was priceless.
Yeah, that is priceless. It's because that's also something I want to talk about. I want to talk about role model awareness. I always tell my students, I need role models. I need people like you, like Natalie Sisson. There's many more that I just follow. And like they're like normal women from normal backgrounds. They don't have millionaire parents or whatever. They have normal backgrounds and they just make it. They build a business. They make multiple six. They make 7 figures, sometimes multiple 7 figures. Are you aware now, like you are a role model for a lot of European women, most of them are European. Did that change something in like in your presence, in how you present yourself, in I don't know, the way you look, you perceive yourself, or what changed in you?
Yeah, I think there was a point, I don't know, maybe second or third year in business where I started to even the first year. Where I start to realize that I'm a role model. Just the fact that I was taking action and some others were not yet taking action, I started to realize that my small steps are inspiring someone. I remember in I was in the ninth month of my first year of online business. I wasn't making much money, but I sent out an email with a list of things that I'd done in the last 9 months. I had created a freebie, 70 people signed up. I did my first webinar, 67 people signed up. I listed everything. I also listed my revenue, by the way, which was not a lot. It was $800 one month, $2,000 another month.
Yeah.
And then I got a flood of people who wanted to work with me. And I really internalized that I just have to be one, two, three steps ahead to be inspiring those who come behind me. And there always is someone ahead of you. There's always someone behind you.
Yeah.
But you gotta share your steps. You gotta document. You gotta share your lessons.
Yeah, share lessons, share steps. Yeah.
Yeah, and with abundance mindset, like not everyone is going to turn into a client, but shout it from the rooftops, you know, write a blog post, do a podcast, write emails and tell people about your journey. And I have made it my mission to inspire my clients to share theirs, because I'm not on this journey alone. We are all in this together to inspire other women. And I remember a talk I had. It was with one of my dear clients who has taken off like crazy. So he has three multiple seven-figure businesses now. And it makes me proud that she started with me and was 4 years my client. And I took her to $1 million. And now she has three multiple seven-figure businesses. She said recently on stage in front of my audience, how, and she even had a picture. There was a retreat, a mastermind retreat. And I was talking about doing a big conference in Iceland, as you know, which
I know
because of the pandemic and Ukraine war and other things that just accumulated. At some point, I had to cancel the whole thing. But I was talking to her about, where are the seven-figure women? Because I want seven-figure women to come on stage and inspire others to become seven-figure women. And she was at 800 something thousand at that time and was not so like, oh, I have to make the million, you know. She's not a business coach, not a marketing coach.
No, nothing. No, I think you know the person you're talking about.
Yes. And so she was like, why go for the million? And then we went on about this and I said, you know, I want these seven-figure women to stand on stage and inspire thousands of women that it's possible and we can together accelerate gender equality, because when more women make more money, we have more wealth and women don't have to rely on their spouse and things like that. And there was a picture taken during this conversation and she showed it in the talk and I was like, we had this conversation during this picture. The next year, she achieved a million. And she wasn't ready to talk about it. That was my next. So I did inspire her to go for the million, which was wonderful.
That's interesting, because women and money is also a thing. Like, do we talk about this, yes or no? Yeah.
And then she didn't want to talk about it. She sent me a message on Messenger that, just like that, I've achieved the million thanks to our work together for the last few years, whatever. A beautiful, heartfelt message. I took a screenshot right away. I was like, maybe one day she will allow me to use it. She showed it on stage and I was like, yay! But it took her another year until she was comfortable to talk publicly about having a seven-figure business. And now in front of an audience at my event, she talked about her three multiple seven-figure businesses. I feel that's been an important part too. It's not something that I would say, come to me and learn how to talk about your business. No, it's just a part of like, once you have achieved something, please talk about it, because there are women out there that need to hear it. And you don't need to say it every day. And I understand if you're not a business coach or a marketing coach that how much money you make, you might feel is irrelevant, but it's not. It is not. And that's why I'm like.
it's more than irrelevant. It's like, it's also, we don't talk about money. It's a taboo thing. Yeah. Like, especially, I think, especially Western Europe, we just don't talk about how much money do we make. We didn't talk about the salaries. We didn't talk about anything. That's why we got paid less and less. So we need to talk about it, but I'm okay with my people just talking about money in the mastermind first and then take it on to a stage or whatever. Yeah.
So it has taken some time, and it's interesting now on a few more of my clients who are also in my highest mastermind. Not business coaches, not marketing coaches. Actually, most of my clients are not business and marketing coaches. Some of them have decided to become affiliates. And then that forces them to talk about the money. So there's a hidden agenda. Like, you know, it's great they want to be affiliate of mine. That's one thing. But I am so happy that they finally tell their audience what they make in their business. It should not be such a secret. Because we need more women to go for these big dreams. And just imagine when someone who is teaching sewing courses tells their audience they're making $700,000 a year. They're like, wow. You know, if it brings up jealousy and someone stops buying from you, well, that's their own issues. But, you know, the possibilities of making so much money with something so simple as teaching styling or sewing or something that you actually do not have to go to university for. And actually, in this case, this woman is not even a seamstress.
No, that's even funnier. But I think it's very important to talk about everything that's connected to money and to investment and to, like, what level are you comfortable, etc. Money is very important for us, and we need to get over that. You said many of my clients are not business coaches and marketing coaches.
Yeah.
They were in my time.
Yeah. No, I have a mixture, but I would say majority not. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give us a description of women in your community that make it, like the main five characteristics of your ideal clients?
I had an epiphany recently that most of my clients sell courses around $500.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
That was interesting. It doesn't mean that everyone has to sell a course for $500, but that was just an epiphany. Yeah. What are the five characteristics? The first one is being coachable. Being coachable is so important. Being open to ideas, being willing, at least in the beginning, to trust the process and just do what your coach recommends you do. In the very beginning, it's much easier for someone who just like, do this, do this, do this, do this. When you are further in business, you can be more critical because then you have your own experience and you know what you like or dislike. But in the very beginning, you do not have the capacity for that yet. So it's easier to just follow a process. Once you are making some money in your business, you absolutely can take advice on, and then you can decide not to do it. But you should not, while you're being coached or while someone is giving you advice, have negative thoughts in your head and say, no, 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 doesn't work. I tried it. Well, maybe this time it will work if you try it again. Maybe you did something wrong last time. So being coachable is number one. And I spot that quite quickly. And actually, if someone... Like, I have a strict no refund policy in my programs because I don't want to attract people who just come into a program and try to get a refund after 7 days. I don't want that. But I do watch very carefully when we have new clients. And if I notice that someone's uncoachable, we exit them from the program because there's no point. There's no point for them. There's no point for us. There's no joy in coaching people that are not
they start the negativity spiral if you don't pay attention.
The first is coachable. The second thing is being perseverant, like not giving up, because you know, even if we suggest something, they try it and maybe it doesn't work out the first time, then try it again with a different approach. You know, when you send an email and nobody buys, well, send a second email, maybe try a different angle.
Awesome.
So
can you tell a little bit about also about your crazy challenges that you did, like in the beginning of your career and then after a few years again?
Like, yes, I believe that one-off anyway in business doesn't work off. In marketing, you have to repeat your message again and again. And if you want to be noticed, then you have to sometimes do something out of the ordinary. And when I launched my podcast, I thought to myself, there are so many, I thought I was late in 2017. People are starting podcasts today and it's not too late.
Oh, we're still early. Yeah, people are still early. If you start today, you're still early. Yeah,
we're still early. But of course, we always are in our own bubble. And then I thought, oh, I'm too late to the podcast world. And I told myself, okay, I'm going to do, I was inspired by the book Known. From Mark Schaefer, one of our favorite authors. We both love him. And in his book, he talked about how do you get known versus not known. And he talked about a guy. He used to be in the army and then he went into fashion and he started to do YouTube videos. And he did, I think, daily. YouTube videos for 200 days. Yeah. And each video does not have a big view. So it's not about like Mr. Beast, your videos go viral and you have to give someone $1 million. No, no, no. It was just very simple, short videos, but daily for 200 days. And then, you know, things start to take off. It didn't mean that his videos took off. This is the common misconception. It is that you get business, you get clients. The videos just like, you know, and the same with a podcast. I did 100 episodes in 100 days. And I can tell you what happened. So even if my downloads are not so high, like I had clients who had more downloads than me, especially if you like, I had a client at that time who started a Facebook podcast that skyrocketed and she got like so many downloads. And I was like, I don't have so many downloads.
How do you cope with that feeling?
There is pride, you know, there is pride. And I do then learn back from my clients. Like I said, now I have clients who are more successful than me. And I have this immense pride, like a mother, you know. And they achieve things that I couldn't achieve. And maybe they're in a different niche or they could be in the same niche. And then, you know, you have to get over it as yourself and say, now I can learn from them. You never know who's going to be the teacher. What are their secrets? What are they doing so well? Yeah. And if there is anything I can learn, I easily take that on. And even people are making less. So we shouldn't, not everything is measured in money. I have clients who are making $300,000-$400,000 a year, but they are killing it with reels. The reels are going viral. And I'm like, I got to study that, you know?
Yeah.
So there, you never know who turns into the teacher, and you gotta, you know, we are equals in any sense.
But it means also for your own mindset, like be coachable yourself, be open yourself, respect other people's talents as well.
I think
that's very important. I remember the 100 podcasts in 100 days.
Yeah, coming back to the YouTube guy. So I was so tired.
The suit guy.
Yeah, the suit guy. And we met him later on.
I got his name. Very difficult name.
I went up to him, and I went up to the suit guy at a conference saying, your story in the book from Mark Schaefer inspired me to launch my podcast, 100 episodes, 100 days. And if you would just look at the downloads of my podcast, you would think, well, this wasn't very successful. Because one thing, because I was so, you know, like, working a lot to get 100 podcasts out in 100 days, that I didn't, for instance, email my guests. That's a bad one. Like when you have a guest on your show, you have to email them and give them a thumbnail and a text and whatever and hope that they post. I did not do that. Big mistake. Still, I'll tell you what happened. Just before No, around the time I launched the podcast, because the podcast was launched of August 2nd, 2017, I had emailed my list in February that I would make my first $1 million year that year. Okay, I had decided it. I had announced it publicly. The previous year, I made $340,000. So my plan was to triple my revenue. When I launched my podcast, my revenue was $340,000. I did not know how I was going to make the million that I had announced that I would make. But this is where goal setting comes in and is so important. I was so adamant about achieving the goal. I had my red notebook, of course. Now I have the Remarkable, but I had the red notebook and I started to list down what I needed to make $660,000 until end of the year. What can I sell? So I listed all the programs, even a retreat that was happening the following year, the prices, how many spots, and I saw I could do it. It was theoretically possible. And I am convinced that the podcast played a role. So even if you look at the download numbers and you say, well, this is not a very successful podcast, it's the right people listening. And maybe people who are already on your email list go and listen to your podcast and they have a way to get to know you. They fall more in love with your coaching. Yeah. And when your offer comes along to work, they're ready. They're ready because they've been nurtured. Yeah. And anyway, long story short, I did make the million on the very last
day. I know. On the very last day.
Yeah. On the very last day. Yeah. And I do think doing these crazy things, of course, I got tired after 100 days. I went to 3 episodes a week and then I went to 1 episode a week. And now my podcast has sadly been on a break for over 2 years. I had a personal challenge. My parents were sick in Tenerife and I went there to help them out. And I decided this is more important. I'm not going to try and pretend everything is fine and continue my podcast. So I took a break. It's very hard to start again. I want to start again, but I have a lot of competing priorities and it has to wait until next year. But yeah.
I know.
So yeah. So coming back to we talked only about two things, about the 5 characteristics of a great client is coachable, willing to try things again and again, and being ambitious. I think those are really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About taking action.
Yeah.
It's also the taking action, but how do you deal with, and maybe you have grown out of it probably, but the people that take action and it's like, oh, it doesn't work. Like, it can be frustrating.
Yeah. The thing is, you got to have perseverance. So if something doesn't work out, try another way. If something doesn't work out, try another way. So let's say you have 10 people that have booked a call with you and you are not selling. Maybe you only sell on the last call, but you got to do the 10 calls. Like, you can't just give up and say, oh, I didn't sell on the first call, so I'm just not going to do. Oh, calls don't work for me. Whatever it is. Or you launch and your first launch is a failure. And it's like, oh, launches don't work for me. Wow. You really tried hard, did you?
Yeah, you got the same passion. Riding your first bike, we say in Holland, like the first time you ride a bike, you fall down.
Yeah.
And then you have to try it again and try it again. Yeah. You inspired me as well to do the 100 podcast in 100 days. Yeah. And for me, the podcast was a business changer. Like, I started a few years later during the pandemic, but it really has changed my business. It has changed me also. I had a small break, but I'm back on track again. Yeah. So 2 podcasts per week are coming out. And number 300 will show in, I think, 2 weeks' time.
Ooh. Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think podcast is amazing. If you like interviewing people, also you have to do some solo, ideally, because of course people need to hear from you. And so I was also, when I took a break, I was doing a little bit too many guests. And the danger with just doing guests is that people don't hear your point of view. Mm-hmm. And it's so important if you want to sell people your programs or help them out in any way, people need to hear from you. What do you think? What's your opinion? What's your thought leadership?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one very, probably one of the last questions. I have a very interesting question. I mean, I think it's interesting. What are the trends in 2024 and beyond for online businesses and online training and online courses and online entrepreneurship?
Wow, there is a big change. Yeah, there are big changes coming. They're not going to be instant, but they're definitely coming. So there were changes even before AI, but of course, yes. AI is speeding everything up. So one of the changes that I find very interesting is social media. Social media used to be the place where I go and check out my family and friends. What are they up to? What are they doing? And now it is more like TV. Friends and family have stopped posting, or if they post, it's very rare. So if I go now on social media, I am just seeing business owners, you know, hopefully doing some thought leadership, but there's a lot of just promotion and ads and suggested posts and whatever. Yeah. So what the big change, and this has been gradual, this didn't happen overnight, but it happened now over a few years, is that it's a broadcasting. Yes, you have to interact with your audience, social, but it's not the place where I go and check on my friends. For that, we have Facebook groups, WhatsApp groups, Telegram groups. And this poses a challenge in a way, because people then go less on the social media. If I know that my friends are not posting anymore, what's the reason to go? It's like going and watching TV. So it's moving more into the entertainment space. So if you think of TikTok, why do people go on TikTok? They're not going to there to see posts from family and friends. No,
they want to be entertained. They want to have a laugh.
They want to have a laugh. They won't go there for entertainment. So what people who want to build an online business need to consider is to move into the either strongly into the thought leadership. Like, for instance, on LinkedIn, you can really do good thought leadership, a little bit on Facebook as well. If you are more in the video section, it's edutainment. Edutainment, where you entertain and educate at the same time. And that's not everyone likes that. But that's a trend, and that's got nothing to do with AI. It's just been going on. And I think in 2024, we really have to consider, do you want to go completely in the thought leadership and do like the post that you see on LinkedIn where people are sharing their opinion and it's all written, maybe a little bit less video. If you would do more video, is it like, does it have the X factor so that I am actually going to watch? Is then the algorithm going to show people more videos for me? So that's a very interesting way. And how do you advertise to people if they are no longer going into those channels? Now, obviously, the social media is going to solve that, because we can then advertise into groups. They've always announced it was coming, but now they have to, because if the people are not in the newsfeed, if they're chatting with their friends in a group, and ads need to pop up so that this makes sense. Otherwise, advertisers will leave the platform. Yeah. So this is as a big one for me. Then the AI, you know, people could go on Google and YouTube to get information. They could check, how do I start a mastermind? How do I write a sales page? How do I create an online course? They could do all these things before. And still they chose to buy from someone how to do it.
Yeah.
So AI is just speeding up this process. So it's creating a lot more information and noise. Information is cheap or free.
Most of it,
Implementation is what we are really selling. So that's kind of the focus with the AI, is like, don't assume that you can sell information anymore.
It's very important for us.
Very important.
People are not buying
information. They're buying the transformation that can happen through your program. So if you help people implement something, create something, shift their mindset, that you can still sell for a while. The third thing that I see happening, the pandemic has created, and maybe this was happening before the pandemic, there's a lot of like people just want it easy, you know. they're like, oh, I can press a button and be a millionaire overnight. That's pretty much what the general public wants, and we know that's not the case. It is a combination of passion, ambition, hard work, being coachable, following the steps of role model, investing into mastermind so that you actually learn how to do it, all that, a bunch of stuff. But what can we do as providers of any type of a program to make it easier for our clients to achieve their goals? And that's where AI comes in again, in a good way. Can we implement tools, software, something that makes this journey of creating an online business or whatever else we're doing easier for them? So we reduce the effort it takes and even the time that it takes to achieve something. So these are the three big trends that I see.
I think there's a lot of opportunity for us as well. It's not so difficult anymore. Like 10 years ago, if I wanted to create a sales page, like I had to do everything myself, or create a course outline. And now I just go to ChatGPT or whatever. Give me some ideas for this and that, or give me a course outline or that and that. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good basis. I can use that for my next thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. You touched upon one thing very shortly, the importance of mastermind groups. How important is it that you are in mastermind groups, that you run mastermind groups? And what would you say to people who've never been in mastermind groups? Why would they be in a mastermind group?
I think this is one of the most important investments that I've made in my business. I actually invest quite a lot into being a part of a mastermind. I stay with the same mastermind for a time. I think you should also not be guru hopping. You don't
guru
hop from
hopping.
Guru hopping is when you're like, oh, you go into a mastermind and you think, this one might be better, and I'll hop over there. And then you don't get the true value of working with someone for several years. I think that's very important. But I joined my first mastermind in my third year of business. I wish I would have joined earlier. I just didn't know the concept of masterminds. I had heard about group programs, but the concept mastermind was new to me. And I absolutely loved it. And since then, I make sure that I am in a mastermind all the time. If I want to leave a group or a coach, I will make sure I sign up for another one before the term ends. So I'm never without a mastermind.
Never without a group.
I'm sometimes in more than one, but I make sure that they are different enough. And some masterminds are not true masterminds. So they're called masterminds, but they're not true. So yeah. So what is a mastermind? A mastermind is when you come together. We have similar values. We have similar goals. And we are not just there to get something. We are also there to give something. We want to contribute to the group. We want to be in a mastermind where we respect the coach, and the coach has done things we want to do or has worked with clients similar to us before, so we can learn from them. But the coach has two roles. On one hand, they're a coach, so obviously they can coach you, but they're also a facilitator. They have to make sure that they get the right people in the group and they reject people that are not a good fit. And this is not necessarily revenue level. It could be values or the goals not ambitious enough or whatever. It could be different reasons. Different mastermind groups have different criteria, but it's important that you just trust the coach that they will pick the right people. You do not have to ask who is in the group. That's a very beginnerish basic question. Do not do that. Trust the coach to pick the right people. You know, if they pick you and you think you're worthy of the group, that's fantastic. And the coach will do their due diligence because it's their name on their line. You know, they don't want to be known for picking the wrong people and having a dysfunctional group. So going to someone who's been doing it for a few years and didn't just start yesterday is more quality control for yourself, picking a mastermind group. Yeah, and what is a real mastermind group versus a not so real mastermind group? Mastermind groups have a limit in their size, in my opinion.
Yeah, agree.
And if they're super small, like 4 or 6 people, yeah, they can work. I have run group like that, and I've been in a group like that, and they have worked. I prefer them to be like 8, 10, 12 people. Yeah. And work together for 6 or 12 months, 12 months even more ideal. But when a mastermind group is 25 or 35 people, that is no longer, in my opinion, a mastermind. That is a networking club. Yeah. And yes, you might have retreats, you might meet up. But if at the end of the year, you don't know everyone in the group and all their problems and all their successes, then that's not a mastermind. That's the criteria for me. And I'm in a mastermind that has 40 people. I don't call it a mastermind.
40.
So yeah. To me, I'm in that mastermind. And I made sure I joined another mastermind so that I would actually have more intimate group I can know everyone more closely. And it's really, you got to make sure that you are in a group so that you can move forward in your business. And what I love with mastermind groups, and I think one of my clients came up with a name, is the slipstream.
The slipstream,
Stream of a jet. Someone in the group will be maybe faster at taking action than you. So maybe you got the same idea or a similar idea in a retreat or on a call, and then one person goes ahead and just did it. I don't know. Maybe they created 30 reels in 30 days and everything went viral and you're still thinking about it and you're like, what? But because you are in a group together and you saw that you were there when they got the idea and you saw them execute it, just like I did in my first online course that I joined in 2013. Mm-hmm. In a mastermind group, it's much more intimate because, you know, you're fewer people and you see this person take off and you're like, I can do that too. And you go ahead and do it. And that's the power of a mastermind, that you see things happening that other people do. People share openly, you know, when someone has a successful launch and they tell you exactly what they did.
Steps,
you can take those strategies and tactics into your next launch. And there's just so many benefits. I could go on and beyond lifelong friendships.
I know. We had one of the masterminds watching us. Maria Husch was watching.
Yeah,
now I know. And exactly what you told, like I've been in a lot of mastermind groups, also in your mastermind groups. I've run them and all the criteria that you mentioned are in my Dutch mastermind system right now. It's only in Dutch, only for Dutch speaking people.
Yeah.
But everything that is not working is not in my system anymore. And I love that. So.
Yeah.
Real focus. We are running out of time. I want to tell people that we are going to have like this energetic end of the year thing.
Yes.
You also, like, it's a signature challenge for you already, like the 12 days of masterclasses. You started them, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago. This is the ninth year. Yeah.
And in online business, that's a long time.
And in online business, we are dinosaurs already. I know. But what exactly? Like, okay, you are going to host 12 live masterclasses starting on December 25th, the 25th, the first day of Christmas. What do you want to achieve with the, like, giving these masterclasses? What do you want to give to my audience, to your audience? What do you want to give to the world with this?
You know, it started as a way to build my list many years ago. And I wasn't even thinking like, oh, this is a launch or anything like that. It was just like, this is a great way to take my best topics and share them with anyone who is an aspiring online entrepreneur or already has a business, maybe even is at six figures or even higher, and find topics that for any stage of business.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very varied background, you know, and I am interested in a lot of topics and I dive into different topics. And my main topic is scale. I really want to help women stop trading time for money and instead scale up and sell group coaching programs, masterminds, retreats, events, online courses, because they are most easily scalable. And with my 12 masterclasses, I'm speaking to different topics like, can you really create a six-figure business in 1 year? How do you turn your knowledge into a thriving online business? How can AI help you in online business? I just pick these varied topics. So there is something for everyone. Maybe there's just one masterclass you like, or many say, hey, I watched every single one of them. And mm-hmm. The feedback we get is just out of this world. Many have said that this training, because it does, it is connected, even if each masterclass is standalone, they are in a way connected to understand how online business works, why scaling is better than selling your time, what needs to be in an online course so that you can sell it, how do you create irresistible offers in any economy. It's like a masterclass in 12 units. It's like an online course for $1,000 that you get for free. So there's no reason not to sign up. Plus, I have a lot of fun. This is the year, this is the time of year where I go, well, I'm still professional, but, you know, I have to put on my hat and have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, it is important to have fun. Yeah.
Fun, and it's Christmas. We can't be too serious. I have a different hat for every day, and this year I have a different dress. I have 12 dresses.
12 dresses of masterclasses. Yeah. I know that you travel with your hats as well. They come with you from Switzerland to Iceland and back. Yeah.
They fit in a big shoebox, my hats, and I had to take an extra suitcase from Switzerland to Iceland because they take a lot of space. They weigh nothing, but they take a lot of space. So I had two suitcases. Yeah, I have a lot of fun. And people tell us the energy in the group.
Yeah, that's what is wanted out to of talk about as well.
Positivity. You know, it's the end of the year and the start of the new year, and it just makes you feel that anything is possible. And if I can give that feeling to you, one that I had starting to feel like, hey, I can do this. This is real. If I can give that feeling to our audience, that's my goal.
And I think that's what I want to give my audience as well. Like, I put my link in the video, I'll put it in the show notes and in the comments as well. I have a link for Dutch speaking people. They can sign up for 15 days of masterclasses. So they get 3 masterclasses extra from me in Dutch. And they get yours, 12 from you in English, of course. And I put the link of the 12 masterclasses, because if you don't speak Dutch, there's no need to sign up with me because you can't understand it. Yeah. So there's 2 links, Dutch or English. And I really want to have that joy with my people as well, to be in the audience, having fun together, talk about the subjects, talk about the things you tell us in the masterclasses, and talk about it in our own small Facebook group. What can we do with this? That's always the most interesting thing. Like, how can we implement this in our business?
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot of nuggets in there. Actually, the first masterclass, because I did it live last year, I was like, how do I show people that you can do six figures in a year? And I took real clients, and Yeah, there's a surprise nugget at the end of the
message. I know. We're not going to tell anything.
We're not going to share. Yeah. No spoilers.
Just be there. So like, that's also a thing. Showing up is, I don't know, 80% of the result. Like,
yeah,
showing up, be there, do the work, and get yourself into this same vibe. Don't be like skeptical. Is that the word? Like,
doubting everything, whatever. Yeah. Like, I only teach things that I've done myself. Or I've helped the client do. There's no reason to do anything else. I've been doing this for 10 years. This is the real deal. We are real people, you know, and I just want to help and inspire more women to go for their dreams. And when they've started a business or are in the beginning stages, there is something for you. And but you only can learn if you have a positive attitude.
Yes, and that's what we're here for. Like, yeah, it is about the vibe and the energy and to help each other, etc.
Yeah.
Okay, so we run out of time a little bit, Sigrun. I knew it. But okay, no, we had some great answers about, like, why is masterminding important? What is self-talk for a seven-figure entrepreneur? What makes a client an ideal client? How do we deal with this role model awareness? And we had a peek into your brain, like, what are the trends for the upcoming years?
Yeah.
So it was amazing. Thank you.
Amazing. Always. It's always a great pleasure, Janet. It's always fun. We make it's sure it's fun. Yeah.
We so make
if
sure
you're enjoying this combo year, you're going to have a lot of fun with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll close the video with the link for the English masterclasses, but I don't know who's watching, of course. But we will see you live in December a lot. I will join as many masterclasses as possible. I try to join them all, so I'll see. And then I bring the content into my Facebook group, talk about it, and teach my people in Dutch, like, okay, how do we do that for the Dutch market?
Yeah.
Great.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye everyone, thanks for watching.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar de Vrijheidsondernemers Show. Geef de show een review op Apple of Spotify. Als vrijheidsondernemer werk je waar, wanneer en met wie jij wilt. En dat gun ik jou ook. Ik weet dat het kan. En bij de juiste keuzes is vrijheid voor jou ook mogelijk. Dus op jouw vrijheid.